Operation Excess Baggage. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth, the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I have a little bit of a hodgepodge of items that we're going to talk about today. And we're going to zero in on a certain subject, and that certain subject is the idea of marriage, and maybe even a little bit more specifically. As you well know, the royal wedding is taking place tomorrow. And so it's got me thinking a little bit about the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where I want to go to in our discussion today as we think about some of the things that are taking place and some of the news items. Hey, by the way, when I mention news items, a couple of the news items that have been predominant in the news for the last couple of days. One includes, of course, the birther issue. I don't know how up to speed you are on that. But yesterday on the broadcast with me, I had Barack Obama's second cousin was my guest on the program yesterday. And we talked about other things than the birther issue. We actually talked about Obamacare was what we had talked about. He's President Obama's second cousin is a doctor. He is a director at a clinic and a facility that does, I think it was radiology, if I remember right. But he's a medical doctor, board certified, and he is actually opposing Obamacare. And I had a wonderful discussion with him yesterday on the program. He knows his subject very well, and he is strongly opposed to his second cousin, Barack Obama's, opposed to his legislation and opposed to what Barack Obama, much of his policy is for this country. So it was a very interesting interview, and I want you to know that you can go out to the website. I would go to the one at sermonaudio.com. That's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And if you go out to that site, you'll see there, I termed the broadcast yesterday conservatives, because in the beginning I spoke about conservatives in Europe and specifically in Spain, along with Warren Cole Smith from World Magazine. And then afterwards, I spoke with Barack Obama's cousin, Dr. Wolf. And so I entitled the broadcast, Conservatives and Obama's Cousin. And so you can go out there and listen to that discussion about what is taking place, or, you know, about what Barack Obama's cousin is saying about the policy coming out of the White House, specifically pertaining to Obamacare. It was a very interesting discussion. I wanted to mention, though, that, of course, we have the idea of the wedding. The royal wedding is taking place, and I want us to look at that. How should Christians be thinking about this? I really it caused in my mind to start thinking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's what I want to get to eventually in our broadcast. I want to get to looking at that. I think we'll have enough time here before the break to play a bit of a YouTube poem that was on someone's Facebook yesterday. I saw it, I heard it, and I thought that was pretty interesting what was said there. Recently on the broadcast, I did a program called Man Up, Turning Men into Boys. And we're thinking about marriage here today, and so this is relevant on this subject. And in that that broadcast that I did with well-known author Kay Heimowitz was my guest on that program. She basically was saying that many of the men in their 20s and 30s today have not really grown up. They're in kind of a pre-adult stage. I did a program similar to that some time ago called The Death of the Grown-Up, and that was with an author from the Washington Times. And we just looked at this whole phenomena that is taking place where young men are just not growing out of being adolescents and growing into adulthood. It's taking a lot longer. Well, this YouTube poem that I came across just a few days ago on someone's Facebook post, the woman that is giving this poem, it's similar to a rap, but she's at a poem group, and there different people are standing up and reading their poems. She is, in this poem, she talks about the idea that she has basically settled for certain men, that she has, in her dating experience, she has chosen men that she's dated that really weren't the right guy that she should be going out with, should be dating, and yet she was hoping to kind of turn him into something that he really wasn't. And she acknowledges in the poem what a failure that has been. And then, therefore, the poem then transitions to the place where she is talking about what the man really needs to be like, that he needs to be a solid Christian. At one point, she calls one of the guys that she dated, she says his first name was Luke and his second name was Warm. He was lukewarm. And so she says that she needs to stop fooling around and dating these types of people. She needs to trust the Lord, who is the author of time, and he's the one that can do this in her life. And she says if he chooses a life of singleness for her, then so be it, that he is the one that she serves. And so listen to it all the way through. You got to listen kind of carefully because, like I said, it is done in almost a rap type of way. And so you just listen carefully to what she is saying, and I think you'll find it interesting. It's about 7 minutes long. When we come back from this, we'll take a break, and then we'll move on in the broadcast. Listen to this.
So it seemed that it was cool for everyone to be in a relationship but me. So I took matters into my own hands and ended up with him. Display the characteristics of a cheater, a liar, an abuser, and a thief. So why was I surprised when he broke into my heart? I called 911, but I was cardiac arrested for aiding and abetting because it was me who let him in, claiming we were just friends. It was already decided for me by the first date that even if he wasn't, I was going to make him the one. You know, I was tired of being alone, and I simply made up in my mind that it was about that time, so I decided to drag him along for the ride, because I was always the bridesmaid and never the bride. A virgin in the physical, but mentally just a grown woman on the corner, and he was tired of the wait. So I was going to make him the one. He had a form of godliness, but not much. But hey, I can change him, so I'll take him. I mean, he's close enough. Ready to sell my aorta for a quarter, not knowing the value of its use to me. Arteries so clogged with my will, it blocked his will from flowing through me. So I thank Christ that his blood pressure gave his heart an attack that flat line my obscured vision put me flat on my back. Through my ignorance, he saw. So through my sternum, he sawed and cracked open my chest to transplant Psalms 51:10. A new heart and a renewed right spirit within. So now I fully understand, better yet, I thoroughly comprehend how much I need to wait for you. See, the bad thing is that I knew he wasn't you from the beginning. Because in the beginning was the Word, and he didn't even sound or shine like your son. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and all he could whisper was sweet, empty nothings, which meant nothing. He couldn't even pray what I needed him to. Asking him to fast would be absurd, so forget about being cleansed and washed with water through the Word. But I know you. You are already praying for me. Even never having met me, let me assure you I will wait for you. I will no longer date, socialize, or communicate with carbon copies of you to appease my boredom or to quench my thirsty desire for attention and short-lived compliments from sorta kindas. You know he's sorta kinda right, but sorta kinda wrong. His first name Luke, his last name Warren. I won't settle for false companionship. I won't lay in the embrace of his arms, attempting to find some closeness, but never feeling so far apart, because I just want to be held. Because all I gotta do is say no. No more almost sessions of almost coming close, passing winks and buying drinks, and I'm a flirt. Who flirts with the ideology of, can you just tell me how much I can get away with and still be saved? No more. I'll stay in my bed, alone, and write poems about how I will wait for you. He won't even come close. Our fingers won't even interlock. We won't even exchange breath, because I have thoughts that I've saved as my father God has only equipped you to open. I will no longer get weighted down from so-called friends and family talks about the concern for my biological clock when I serve the author of time. Subject to him. He has the ability to stop, fast forward, pause, or rewind at any given time. So if we could role play, you would be Abraham and I would be Sarah. Or you could be Isaac and I could be Rebecca, a servant's answered prayer. I am bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, made up of your rib, Adam. And once we meet, like electrons, I will be bound to your nucleus, completely indivisible, Atom. We even speak the same math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, which really equals 1 if you add them. We were all created in his image, but you have the ability to reflect, project, and even detect the sun. If I were to explain what you look like, you would have to look like a star, a son of the sun. I would gain energy simply from the light that you shine on me. I would need you in order to complete my photosynthesis. I await your revelation, but once again from the Genesis, I will wait for you. And I will know you, because when you speak, I will be reminded of Solomon's wisdom. Your ability to lead will remind me of Moses. Your faith will remind me of Abraham. Your confidence in God's word will remind me of Daniel. Your inspiration will remind me of Paul. Your heart for God will remind me of David. Your attention to detail will remind me of Noah. Your integrity will remind me of Joseph. And your ability to abandon your own will remind me of the disciples. But your ability to love selflessly and unconditionally will remind me of Christ. But I won't need to identify you by any special Matthews or any special marks, because this word will be tatted all over your heart. And you will know me, and you will find me where the boldness of Esther meets the warm closeness of Ruth, where the hospitality of Lydia is aligned with the submission of Mary, which is engulfed in the tears of a praying Hannah. I will be the one drenched in Proverbs 31, waiting for you. But to my father who has known me before I was birthed into this earth, only if you should see fit. I desire your will above mine, so even if you call me to a life of singleness, my heart is content with you, the one who has sinned. You are the greatest love story ever told, the greatest love ever known. You are forever my judge, and I'm forever your witness. And I pray that I'm always found on a mission about my father's business. I will always be yours, and I will always wait for you, Lord, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning, I will wait.
I tried to told y'all, give it up for Jeanette.
Well, there you have it. I told you it was going to be interesting. This girl, she really lets loose there on what she thinks about the young man that she has been dating up until this time. I love that one line where she says his first name was Luke and his second name is Warm. He's lukewarm. You know, he's not fit. He's not right, but he's not wrong, but he's not right. Just halfway on all of these things. And she finally comes to the conclusion that this is not working and that she is going to wait for God to bring the right person into her life. You know, there's this whole term that is used in this idea of dating today where people are settling, just settling for just anybody and just saying, well, he or she is not Mr. Right or Mrs. Wrong, but, it's not exactly what I want, but I'm going to go ahead and settle because of, some other reasons. And that is not the way that as believers we should think. We should be thinking, that we should be resting in the will of God. God knows our situation. God knows what our needs are. And he can produce that in our life if that's what his will is. I love that statement that she makes towards the end of her poem. By the way, the woman's name is Jeanette. I never did see her last name, but it's a poet, Jeanette, and she's part of this. I think it's actually called a P4CM. I don't even know what that stands for, but some sort of an official poem site where folks stand up and recite these poems. But she has this statement towards the end of it. It says, not only, is there encouragement here for people as they're going through this struggle, but an encouraging message about waiting. But then she says that she wants to be a woman with the boldness of Esther, the warmness of Ruth, the hospitality of Lydia, and the prayers of Hannah, that she wants to be this Proverbs 31 woman in the way that she approaches this subject. And I just thought it was interesting. I thought it was an interesting way of looking at this subject. As I mentioned previously, I did a couple programs too about from the guy side of things, from just men not being ready. I did a program a long time ago, a couple years ago actually, about guys not being ready for marriage, not being prepared for marriage and making any preparations for marriage. That's out on the website. You can just go ahead and look at that or put marriage in under the search engine. You'll find it there. And then I did the one called Death of the Grown-Up. And then just recently I did the one called Man Up, Turning Men into Boys. And that was basically saying that our society today and a number of other things that are taking place in our society today is feeding this type of attitude, this failure to launch, this perpetual adolescence, people 30 years old, still engulfed in video games and wanting to hang out with their bandmates, and finding a interesting time doing these types of frivolous activities, not really involved in anything serious whatsoever. Those are what those programs were about. And I think we need to call and say, quit ye like men, be a man, grow up. Let's get serious about the things of God. I think about Jonathan Edwards in his resolutions, his 70 resolutions, 17 years old, right, when he made those resolutions. Read them. I mean, tremendously powerful, where he makes these resolutions about the things of God and about how he is doesn't want to participate in anything that's going to take away from God. She made an interesting line in that poem. She talked about people being under the mentality about how much can I get away with and still be a believer, still be saved. Isn't that what we hear so much in the world today? Arguments about whether you could be a Christian and still participate in this activity or that activity. It's the wrong question to be asking at all, right in the very beginning. The question should be this. If you're a believer, how does this glorify God? How should I be glorifying God in this activity? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about a little bit. I want to talk about the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I just thought that this would be an interesting introduction to that, as we just, this woman is thinking about getting married, talking about singleness and waiting, and then we'll talk about the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Before we do that, let me just let you know about a couple of other news items. And then we'll take a break, and when I come back, then we'll go ahead and read Matthew chapter 22 and talk about this subject. First of all, I don't know if you're aware, but just yesterday, I believe it was, that David Wilkinson, you may remember him from the Sword and the Switchblade, or the Cross and the Switchblade, I'm sorry, the Cross and the Switchblade movie from a number of years ago. Eric Estrada, Pat Boone were in that, I'm talking numerous years ago, probably in the 70s. The whole Nikki Cruz gang situation and all that. Well, that the preacher in there that was exemplified in the film was David Wilkerson. Well, he was killed yesterday in a car accident in Texas. Apparently, I think he had crossed the line. I'm not quite sure, but I think he had crossed the yellow line and hit a semi head-on, and he was killed. He's still the pastor of a church in New York City. I think it was in Times Square. I think, in fact, it was called Times Square Church or something along that line. And so just at around 70 years old, somewhere around there, he was killed tragically yesterday. And then, of course, one of the other news items that's much in the news today is the royal wedding that has taken place less than 24 hours from now. In fact, when I come into the studio, I was talking to Jerry here, and he said, I don't think I'll be getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to watch it live here. I think because of the time change, the preliminary part of this, of the coverage for the royal wedding is actually going to take place at like, it starts at like 4 o'clock in the morning here in the UK, in the U.S. And then it also, I think the very beginnings of it, of the wedding, start around 6 o'clock. So I don't think I'll be up then watching it either. I like that scripture verse that says, he giveth his beloved sleep, you know. So I'm going to take advantage and be quoting that verse during that time. I won't be getting up to watch this royal wedding. However, I want to give a few thoughts about the wedding in general, about, what this makes me think of. It makes me think of the kingdom, first of all. This is the royal wedding that's taking place. So it makes me think about the king, the ultimate king, the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me think about his kingdom and the royalty that, Christ speaks of. And then even more specifically, it makes me think about the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. You may not have gotten an invite to Prince William and Kate Middleton's wedding. I checked the mail just before I came. There was nothing there for me either. So we're not going to be able to go to this one. But there's one coming up that's even going to be grander. And that this one is going to be the actual Marriage Supper of the Lamb that every true believer will be able to participate in. And so that's the one that we're looking forward to, and that's the one that I want to talk about on the rest of the program today and focus on. We're going to be there. It's going to be a glorious event. You know, just absolutely, the one that's taking place tomorrow in the UK will pale into insignificance by way of comparison to the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It'll be a wonderful event. And these types of things that we see foreshadowed in our world today, we should use to point our attention to the reality of those things that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we'll talk about when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Since 1993, Auger Family Chiropractic has helped thousands of people just like you. Dr. Auger's office has helped them to discover a better way to experience health and healing. For over a century, chiropractic doctors have known that by God's design, the body possesses the ability to heal itself naturally. To learn how chiropractic adjustments enable the body to perform to its optimum and heal itself without the use of drugs or surgery, listen to Your Half Hour to Health with Dr. George Auger, Wednesday afternoons at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
An orphan girl cries at night with no one to comfort her.
Today, Christians across America and beyond are transforming the lives of orphans by adoption, foster care, and global orphan ministry.
You and your church can too. Learn how at the Christian Alliance for Orphans National Adoption and Orphan Care Summit at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, May 12th and 13th.
To learn more about Summit, visit www.christianalliancefororphans.org.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great Christian music you grew up with Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to talk about the wedding, not necessarily the one taking place in the UK. That's just a foreshadow of the real event. The real event, of course, is with all the true believers at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to talk about that and read about that here in just a second. One quick announcement. I just want to let you know that I still have a few tickets left over for the Carolina First Center, the Upstate Spice of Life show that starts tomorrow, April 29th and the 30th. These tickets are worth $10 a piece. I'm giving them away in pairs so that you can take a friend with you to the event. It's basically like a wellness program that's going to be there. There'll be a number of hands-on workshops and interactive demonstrations that will be taking place. Demonstrations that will be focusing on cooking and entertaining and fitness and wellness, all of these different things here. It's going to be a pretty good time for folks that are into these different areas. By the way, the Food Network star Ellie Krieger is going to be there. They're also going to have an aerialist that will be there. There will be a different type of fitness fashion shows will be going on, and different types of demonstrations will be there as well. And so Twigs is going to be there, Pottery Barn, Williams-Sonoma. It's sponsored by Ferguson Kitchen and Bath, Channel 4, the Greenville Journal. Just a number of groups will be there. I actually got this one, this card in my hand here, from the doctor that I go to, and part of a new group called EMG. They're going to have a booth there as well. The American Diabetes Association is putting this on, along with Greenville Hospital System. So a number of different folks. You know, it's going to be a pretty good size event over there. The show times start from 9 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m. both Friday and Saturday this week. Parking is free as well, and children 12 and under are free as well. The tickets that I'm going to give you are $10 a piece, and so it's a $20 value. I'll give them two at a time. And if you'd like one, just simply send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. And while supplies last, I'll go ahead and get you some of these tickets. Let me read the passage now that I wanted us to look at here today. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, and it says this, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants, and called them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And they made light of it, and went on their way, one unto his farm, and another unto his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. He said unto his servants, the wedding is ready, and they which were bidden were not worthy. Go, and therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And so those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there was a man there which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto his friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. That was a reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And I wanted to make just a couple of comments about this particular passage. One of the things that it points out to me first and foremost is the idea that Christ is a king. When we look at this, this is easily drawn from this passage, and it's certainly a truth that we find given to us throughout the Scriptures. That Christ is the king is clearly taught throughout the Scriptures. And in fact, his actual name, his name is Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed one, and it comes from in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We find that the prophet Samuel anoints the kings of Israel. He is anointing Saul. He also anoints David with this horn of oil. He's the anointed one. This was a practice for those that were kings. So in the Old Testament, the idea was that Christ was the fulfillment of David's kingdom, that he was the seed of David, spoken about many times in the Scripture. And here we see that Christ actually means the anointed one. Not only was Christ, he wasn't anointed by an earthly prophet per se, you know, a prophet here on this earth, but he was anointed directly by the Father. Also, the testimony of other prophets throughout the Scripture speak that Christ is a king as well. Zechariah 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Psalm chapter 2 speaks about, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Of course, that's the Lord speaking, the Father speaking about his Son. The testimony of the angels in Scripture says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, the angel speaking to Mary and saying to her, and you shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 and 33. Also, the testimony of the disciples. And we see in John chapter 1 that the disciple of Jesus, Philip, and Nathanael in this passage, talking amongst each other, but he goes and he tells Nathanael to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's coming, Jesus said this to him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him, and he saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. How about the testimony of Christ himself? He came preaching that the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Sermon on the Mount, found, of course, in Matthew chapter 5 through through chapter 7, reads like a manifesto of the king. In Matthew chapter 25, Christ is pictured as sitting upon the throne of universal judgment. In John chapter 18, when Christ was in that mock trial, and the portion of that trial where he was before Pilate, he says, Pilate therefore saith unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus said, thou sayest, I am a king. and unto this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. The testimony of the disciples and apostles afterwards, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 25, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet, who is blessed and the only potentate and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8 says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The book of Revelation is one sustaining hymn of praise to Christ the King. Christ has all the elements of a king. He has a title, he has a crown, he has a scepter. He has loyal subjects in his kingdom. We see that Christ does have a kingdom. He has a kingdom of government where he controls the entire universe. All things are under his control. Daniel chapter 4, verse 40-35 says this, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth in his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He has a kingdom of grace where he rules in the hearts and the minds of the believers. He has a kingdom of glory that we will be going to shortly. It began at his ascension, and it culminates in the final judgment of the world, the final triumph that we see of the Lord Jesus Christ, where John longed for this, the Apostle John, where he said, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You know, when redemption will be complete, when the divine grace that is in us will be fully manifested, the fate of all men will be fixed forever, and Christ will have gained a complete victory, having put all things under his feet. So we see this very clearly in Scripture, that Christ is a king. And so as we're thinking about the wedding that is taking place tomorrow, the royal wedding, it should turn our attention to the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a king. I mentioned the idea of them having a kingdom. It's spoken about in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It speaks about the kingdom of God's dear Son. The theme of the kingdom defines the mission and the message of Christ in the Gospels. The term is used interchangeably, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They're synonymous, that's interchangeable throughout the Scriptures. The kingdom of God and the present kingdom, the future kingdom, and how we should live in light of the kingdom of God. All of those things are pictured for us. And then in our passage that we read here, not only does it give some sense of those things that I've already mentioned about Christ being a king and the idea of his kingdom, but even more specifically, it speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, when we think about these verses, it's important for us to remember a couple of things. One, it's important for us to remember the person that is speaking here. This is not someone who is speculating about what is needed for salvation. This is someone who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt what is necessary for a man to be able to get into heaven. This is not, you know, there's so many voices clamoring to be heard in our day and age with so many different opinions about things. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is the creator, the sustainer of all things, the one who holds our next breath in his hands, the one that determines the next beat of your heart, whether it actually takes place or not. This is the one to whom all power and all authority has been given. When he speaks with complete authority. Remember the importance of the subject that he is addressing. He is not speaking concerning some temporary subjects, such as the wisdom of financial investment during these hard times. He's not speaking about the physical benefits of some particular eating habits or an exercise program. He is not speaking about some latest fashion or music style that people may enjoy or may not enjoy. He's speaking about the most important subject we could possibly consider. He is speaking about the eternal destiny of our soul. He is speaking about the necessity to secure our place in the kingdom of heaven. And he is speaking about how we can avoid the eternal flames of hell. This is very, very important. It's of the utmost importance. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back from this commercial break, then I want to go ahead and I want to look at the salvation of the gospel that is compared to a marriage feast in this passage. That's what I want us to look at. And then I also want to look at the salvation of the gospel and the fact that it is often rejected by many to whom it's offered. And so we'll look at a couple of these subjects related to this passage when we come back from the break. And then we'll follow through on some of the teaching that the Lord gives us in this important passage of Scripture. I like to take modern events like this and use them in order to think about spiritual things, and that's what we'll do. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is Dr. Susan Stegall of Integrative Health Group. Many thyroid problems are being missed with standard blood tests. Standard medical treatment for the thyroid is inadequate. One cannot have optimal health unless the thyroid is working properly. So how can this be done? With specific supplementation. Diet alone is not enough. Join me for my show, Healthy Alternatives, each Tuesday at 12:30 to learn more about real answers for your health problems.
If you're looking for the best all-you-can-eat buffet in town for only $1.99, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for juicy burgers, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for tender brisket and succulent ribs, come to Big Ed's Chow House. But if you're looking for Big Ed, don't come to Big Ed's Chow House. Big Ed passed away last week at the age of 47, leaving his wife and three children, struck down in his prime by the same disease that got his father. So he won't be around to take care of his family. And the sad part is it all could have been detected early with a simple test, but Big Ed didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical tests you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. Once again, that's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Spring is here and termites are swarming. Is your home protected? I'm Keith Rupsager with Patriot Pest Management. They say there are two kinds of homes in South Carolina, one that has termites and one that will have them. Termites cause millions of dollars worth of damage. I know because I've been inspecting homes for 28 years. At Patriot Pest Management, we can prevent termites in your home. Call us at 895-7299 for a free no-obligation inspection. Call 895-7299 today. And we give discounts for veterans and active duty personnel.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment. We're talking about Christ as the King and specifically the marriage supper of the Lamb. It reminded me of something that I had heard on YouTube a while back. It's called That's My King. It's by a preacher by the name of F.M. Lockridge. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I thought, hey, we're having a lot of fun today playing some of these other audio bites. Let's go ahead and listen to this real quick. It's about 3 minutes, and then we'll come back and make the comments about that passage. Here we go.
Says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unparalleled. unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Hey!
Well, he said it a little bit different than I did, but he said it, didn't he? That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? I heard that many years ago, and I just thought it'd be interesting to play since we were talking about this subject. We're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mentioned before the break that the first point that we find in this passage in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1 through 14 is that the salvation of the gospel is compared to the marriage feast. In verse 2 of the passage that I read, it said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son." The picture that is provided here of the gospel is one of complete provision. You know, all things are necessary, necessarily prepared for this great feast that's here. All of the preparation for this feast has been made. There is a gospel that is spoken to us in these texts that is full of an abundant supply. Everything required to relieve our spiritual hunger and thirst has been taken care of by the Father in this supper that he has prepared in order to celebrate his Son. There is pardon for sin. There is peace with God. There is hope of the world to come. All of this is set before us in rich abundance in this passage. All of the great blessings are tied to the love of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers to take us into union with himself. He offers to bring us into the family of God. He offers to give us a place in his kingdom. He offers, because of our relationship with him, to present us faultless before his Father's throne on the last day. Everything necessary to enjoy this celebration has already been provided and prepared for us. In verse 4 of the passage that we read in Matthew chapter 22, it says, "All things are ready, come unto the marriage." There's nothing lacking on God's part to provide for a salvation for the sinner's soul. No one will ever be able to say that it was God's fault that they were not saved. The Father is ready to love and to receive. The Son is ready to pardon and to cleanse from guilt. The Spirit is ready to sanctify and to renew. The angels are ready to rejoice in light of the returning sinner. Grace is ready to assist him. The Bible is ready to instruct him. And heaven is ready to make him its eternal home. All of these things are there. The only thing lacking to partake in the great marriage feast is found on the part of man, not on the part of God. The only thing lacking for the sinner is to come. Come unto the marriage. Receive the gracious offer of God and receive the glorious provision that Christ has made for the soul of men. That's what the passage is calling for. That's what the passage is all about. I think a second thing that we should notice in this passage, not only as we were just talking about, that the gospel is compared to a marriage feast, and a marriage feast that has everything already prepared for it, but that the salvation of the gospel is often rejected by many to whom it's offered. It says in verse 5 of the passage that we read, "But they made light of it, and they went on their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise." Millions of people have received the external invitation to come, but millions of people have refused to come. Some refuse because they determined that other things are more important, their property or their merchandise in this particular passage. Their money or their lands or their businesses take higher priority. Their pleasure is far more interesting of a subject to them than the state of their souls. They feel no special need of the gospel. They see no particular beauty in Christ himself. Someone once said this. They said that open sin has slain its thousands, but indifference and neglect of the gospel has slain 10,000s. Many will find in that day that they are in hell not because of the openly manifested depravity in the breaking of the Ten Commandments, but because they made light of the truth that had been given to them or offered to them in the gospel. God, through the gospel, invites men to come unto him, but oftentimes we find that they neglect it. A third thing that we find in this passage is that false professors will be exposed and condemned. In verse 11 of the passage it said, "And when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there that had not on a wedding garment." Here is the picture of someone trying to crash the wedding. The king asks him, "How is it that you came in here without the proper wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. He was unable to answer the king's question. The man was cast into outer darkness or hell. It teaches us that there are going to be some who profess that they are one thing when in reality they are something altogether different. They may be able to deceive other men upon the face of the earth, but that deception will be exposed on the day of judgment. Nothing but true faith in Christ will be accepted. None but the true believers will be allowed to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. With good reason, the Lord said that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth as men realize that they have neglected the final opportunity to rightly receive the invitation. You know, Christ concludes these words by saying that many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, the invitation goes out to all, but only a few will properly respond. Only those who realize that the full provision of salvation has been provided for them in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those who are willing to forsake their ways and to come unto the marriage feast. Only those who are more than just empty professors of the gospel, but those who are eternal possessors of the truth, those will be the ones that will be allowed in. Only those who are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have those wedding garments on, those robes of righteousness that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, only those will be the ones that will be enabled by God to come into the wedding feast. Well, as you think about the royal wedding this weekend, as you see on the news and all of the different tabloids and these types of things that are talking about the royal wedding taking place in the UK, remember this wedding that we talked about today, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Think about this. Think about your king. Think about the eternal destiny of your soul. Are you going to be there for this important wedding? for the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Are you going to be there for that one? You may miss out on this other one in the UK. So be it. But don't miss out on the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Come to the saving knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And so I just want to leave you with that message and think about those things. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Go to church this Sunday. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.